afternoon, everybody. So today we're going to talk about magic shows in Halacha. I got an email the other day asking if we could talk about it. I said I must have a 10-minute Halacha share on that topic already. It's like a, you know, but apparently I don't. So the reason it's relevant is that, you know, for from people to have kosher forms of entertainment is not so poshut. And when you're a shul or an organization that's trying to run a fun night and a fundraising event, so it's a natural thing to try to look for, to try to find some sort of fun kosher form of entertainment. So the question becomes, how kosher is it? Now, some magicians are geared toward children, which have the advantage that the tricks are not so professional, but the disadvantage that the children are more gullible. Some magicians are geared toward adults, which have the opposite advantages and disadvantages. Obviously, there are different kinds of tricks. Most of these entertainers can perform all these, you know, the sleight of hand and mind reading and mind bending, mentalists, you know, these kinds of things. So is there an isser to perform? Is there an isser to watch? Is there an isser to hire such people? So let's start. There are two primary issues. The first one is a lesser issue, and that is the issue of Geneva Stas. And it's also looking of Das Abrios, the Gemara Chulin Daf Sadi Dalet says, I feel the Das of the Chavim, you're not allowed to be Gonev Das of other people. The Rambam in the second paragraph of Vilchus Deos gives examples of Geneva Stas. He said, and the examples come from the Gemara, that you're not allowed to sell non-kosher meat to a non-Jew under the pretense that the meat is really kosher, because then he believes that you're giving up something that you're able to use, when in reality you had no personal use for it anyway. You're not allowed to invite someone to come to your house knowing that he's not able to come to your house, and you're only inviting him to give him the impression that you want him to come, but you don't really want him to come. You're not allowed to open up barrels of wine in somebody's presence, giving the impression that you're doing it for his honor, when the truth is you need to open those barrels anyway for some other purposes, and things like that. Even one word, says the Rambam, of Geneva Stas is Asra, and the Achronim point out it doesn't even have to be a word. Even just doing something that gives a false impression is Asra. It's Machlokas Rishonim, whether it's Nisra D'Oraisa or Nisra D'Rabbanan, to be Gonev Das Abrios. The Smag in Los Asei Kufnun Hei and the Shulchan Aruch Harav in Ono Osir Aleph suggest that it's Nisra D'Oraisa, where the Smak in Reish Samach Beis and the Bach in Chosh Mishpah Reish Chav Ches suggest that it's Nisra D'Rabbanan. So the question is it Geneva Stas that you're convincing someone that you're reading their mind when you're really not? You're convincing someone that you cut the lady in half and put her back together, when in fact you didn't do that. You just managed to give the impression that you did. So there are exceptions to the issue of Geneva Stas. The Gemara Maseches Erev and Daf Kuf tells us that a person should always tell his wife about all of the fancy, expensive, beautiful things that he plans on buying for her, knowing full well that he can't afford to buy any of those things for her, because that is just his way of expressing that if I were a rich man, I would be able to buy you all these things, and I would. There would be nothing more, nothing better for me to spend my money on than these things. So it's a way of expressing his love and his affection for his wife. It's not considered to be deceptive. Similarly, the Rambam writes that a person, even though you're not allowed to invite someone to your house, if you know that they're not going to be able to come, when you're giving the false impression that you want to invite them when you don't really, if, however, you're inviting them to give them kavod of knowing that they are invited, so then that's not an isser, because that you are trying to just express to them your affection for them, and this effectively expresses your affection for them. That's why, like, someone comes to your house, you offer them a cup of tea, and you know that, or a cup of coffee, and you know that they're not thirsty, they're not interested in having tea or coffee, and you know that in advance the answer is going to be no. But it's still proper manners as a way of expressing things. So one could argue that when you're doing a magic trick, are you really trying to convince people that you are capable of of supernatural powers and things like that? No, you're entertaining them. It's a method of entertainment. So that's your whole kavana, is just to provide entertainment. It's not a kavana to try to trick anybody into thinking that you're providing, that you're doing something for them, or that you're able to do something that you're not able to. It could be that the gather of Gnevis Das is only when you give someone the impression that you're doing something for them, that you're providing them with some sort of service, which also lechora would not apply when you're doing a magic trick. The more serious issue is the issue of some type of sorcery or achizas einayim, and where that fits in the uh, in the category. The where that fits as far as an Isser is concerned. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Samachayim Beis says that a ma'onein is lo sase in the Torah, but what is a ma'onein? So there are three opinions in the Gemara what it means to be a ma'onein. Either one opinion in the Gemara is that it's a person who puts different types of shechva zera on his eye, and that activates forces of tumma. Do not try this at home. The Chum say that a ma'onein is someone who's ocheiz ha'einayim, who does all sorts of tricks that deceive people, or according to Rabbi Akiva, it's somebody who calculates lucky times or unlucky times, that I can't do this because it's Friday the 13th, and you get, you know, those kinds of things. That would be a ma'onein. So Rashi writes, ocheiz ha'einayim means that you make it look like you're doing something, but in reality, eino osa klum, that a person, it looks like something happened, but in reality, nothing really happened. That is the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Samech Hay. On Daf Samech Zayinim Beis, the Gemara tells us that Rav reported to Rabbi Chiya that he saw the most remarkable thing. Rav said to Rabbi Chiya, I saw Yishmaeli who took out a sword, he cut his camel into pieces, and then he rang a bell, and the camel stood up on its feet and walked away. It was just unbelievable. So Rabbi Chiya said, did you see the blood? Did you see the kishkas of the camel come out? And he said, no. So he said, okay, so it was just Achiza Seinayim. You didn't really see anything. The Mishnah on Samech Zayinim Beis tells us that there are, among, when it lists all the Isurim of Ma'onein and sorcery and the like, and Kishuv says that Achiza Seinayim is Pater from Malkus. A Mechashif is Chayiv, but a person who's just Ocheiz Seinayim is Pater. So it seems like a contradiction, because on the one hand, we said that a Ma'onein, on Daf Samechay, one of the definitions of Ma'onein is Ocheiz Seinayim. Yet on Daf Samech Zayin, we say that someone who's Ocheiz Seinayim is Pater, that he's not a Mechashif, he's only Ocheiz Seinayim. And that same stira comes out in the Rambam. The Rambam also in Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam writes that a ma'onein is someone who is ocheiz ha'einayim. He uses trickery, so like sleight of hand, and he does things that seem remarkable. And then the Rambam gives an example. He says, "What would be an example of ocheiz ha'einayim?" So it's amazing. Like all these years, all these centuries, the tricks haven't changed, right? The Rambam says that a guy takes a rope and he puts it in his garment, and he takes it out and it's a snake, or he throws a ring into the air and then he finds it in the mouth of the member of, you know, one of the members of the audience. He pulls it out of someone's mouth. It's all the same tricks that they're still doing. So the Rambam says that all of those are forms of sorcery, and a person who does that is Chayiv Malkus, and is also deceiving people. So when describing Mechashev, he says Ocheiz ha'einayim, and it makes it look like you did something. It's Makas Mardus Midrabanan. So which is it? Is it something for which a person is a ma'onein for which you're chayv malchus, or is it like by mechashif where the Rambam says that no, you're not chayv malchus, only malchus mardus mitrabanan? So there are different yeshuvim for this stira in the Rambam, but the one that's quoted by poskim oddly is not the yeshuv that the Beis Yosef has; it's that which is suggested by the Bach. The Bach in Yerdeya in Simen Kuf Ayin Tes, and this is accepted by the Shach, suggests that there's a difference between somebody who does an action and somebody who doesn't. One kind of deception, relying on sleight of hand, requires a magician to do something, to do some sort of physical action in order to pull off the trick. Once you're doing an action, you're chayv malchus. Salav sheyesh b'maisa. However, when there's no concrete action, it's just something that's ocheiz ha'einayim, something that deceives the person, but you're not actually doing anything, then it's salav she'ein b'maisa. Mela, there's not going to be malchus. So the Bach says that, but either way, you're going to run into an iser min haTorah, meaning if you're doing any of these tricks, it is a violation. So according to the Bach, it would turn out that any deceptive magic trick that relies on sleight of hand is a violation of an Isser da'oraisa of Ma'onein and potentially Mechashif as well. The Shach quotes this in Yerdeya Kuf Ayin Tes Sif Katan Yud Zayin, as does Chayi Adam, and the Mishnas Chachamim, and the Pischei Tshuva quotes all of this. Chayi Adam adds that if you pay for a magician, it's a violation of Lifnei Iver, because if it's usher to do it, you're not allowed to pay somebody to do it, so it's a violation of Lifnei Iver. He says you're not even allowed to be present and watch such a show. The Chachmas Adam in Pei Tes Osvav is quoted in the Pischei Tshuva in Kuf Kuf Ayin Tes Sif Katan Zayin, that entertainers who perform magic tricks at weddings are in violation of Anissa Daraisa, and you have to make a Macha'a, and that is the Shita of Rav Vadi Yosef, both in Yechavdas Chelik Gimel Simen Samaches and in Yabiyo Omer Chelik Hei Yordaya Simen Yadalit. It's also the Shita of Rav Vazner and Shevet Alevi Chelik Hei Simen Kuf Chav Tes. Chachmas Adam does add that a non-Jewish person is allowed to perform magic. He's allowed to do tricks because it's not one of the seven Sibnei Noach, and therefore if you have a Kedai or non-Jewish magician, would be much better. So what's the Kula? So the Kula is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva in Igros Moshe Yordei Chelik Dalet Simen Yud Gimel, where he says it's very hard to say that this is going to be, that these sleight of hand magic shows are going to be in Isser Darai. So he says, you know, if a person is gifted in whatever way that they're gifted, and they do things better than others, faster, stronger, better than others, they're allowed to use those gifts. Rav Moshe says, why would this be any different than Shimshon using his supernatural strength to kill the Plishtim, or Naphtali running at an incredibly fast speed to bring back the deed for the sale of the Maris HaMachpelah to Yaakov? You know, why would it be any different? These people were capable of a lot more. They were capable of extra physical strength, and there's no concern. So sleight of hand is just because your hands are a little quicker than the next guy. You trained yourself, you practice, your hands are a little quicker than the next guy. Rav Moshe doesn't see that as a problem. Rav Moshe says, though, it's a funny tshuva. Apparently someone asked Rav Moshe, is it true that you paskin, that it's mutter? So he said, no, that's not true. I never paskined anything for anybody because I was never asked the shayla. If I were asked the shayla, I would try to discourage it. I would tell people not to do it. If they pushed me and pushed me and pushed me and said, is it mutter? So then I would have to acknowledge that it's mutter. That's how Rav Moshe presents. So some people say, you see, Rav Moshe was never matir. Others say, obviously, he's saying, if you push him, he would tell you that it's mutter. Rav Moshe is not the only posik that was matir. Rav Bitzal Stern and Bitzal Chachma Chelik Dalet Simen Yud Gimel quotes many Rishonim who imply that just doing Achiza Seinayim is only when you're using actual kishuf, when you're using some sort of supernatural power. But if you're not using supernatural power to make it look like the vegetables are detached from the ground and floating in the air or something like that, you're just doing a sleight of hand, that would not be usher. Based on something that the Chinuch writes in Simen Reish Nun, the Kleisenberg Rebbe in Shuvas Divrei Yatziv in Yardeya Simen Nun Zayin also says that maybe we could be Mekel if the magician makes it clear that he doesn't really have supernatural forces. Which, what a magician does. So a very firm magician will start off by saying, I have no supernatural forces, and then he will spend the next hour telling you about his supernatural powers that he has, because that's part of the show, right? That's part of how he entertains the crowd by saying all these fantastical and crazy things. Rav Sternbach in Tshuvas VaHanhago has a couple of tshuvas about it. Chelek Aleph Simen Taf Reish Nun Hey. He says in the name of Chazanish that there's no iser when the audience is aware that it's only a trick. Rav Sternbach also writes that sleight of hand, if the magician posts a sign that there's no kishuf involved over here, these are just techniques of deception that I have, that would be mutter. One could argue that the whole iser was when the natural reaction of an audience would be, wow, that guy has superpowers, just like that guy is able to harness kishuf, just like other people are able to harness kishuf. Meaning that when that was the natural place for a person's mind to go. Nowadays, what's the natural reaction of an audience when a trick was done? How did he do that? Right? Those are the audience spends the entire time on those five words. How did he do that? How did he manage to? Meaning, but because they know that there is an answer to that question, there is a way that he did that. So one could argue that in that case, it's not it would not be fall into the category of what the Gemara was describing. The Bach says that the concern is that when you look at these magic tricks, you're going to start to think, oh, so all the miracles in Chumash aren't a big deal anymore. But if a person just knows that a person is practicing sleight of hand, then you realize that the miracles in Chumash are a big deal, that the Kriyas Yamsuf is still a very big deal, and Lechora would not be such a problem. But some of the poskim are a little more machmir about at least having them make it clear that they don't have any magic. So basically three shitos. There are those that say that it's mutter because nothing, it's just sleight of hand. There are those that say that it's mutter but only if you make it very, very clear that there's no kishuf. And there are those that say that it's Asr, so obviously everyone follow whatever their post success. Okay, have a great day.